Welcome again to Grace Believers Bible Study. Let's go over to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13, and as you go over there, would you bow your head, please? Heavenly Father, we thank you so very much for the people that are here. We thank you for the people that are not here, and just praying for those that are not here, that they will trust the gospel of the grace of God for their salvation. We thank you for Jesus Christ that you sent into this world to die for us. Whenever God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing our trespasses unto him. Unto us, thank God. Thank you, Father. And let the will of the Father be done today. If I say anything that's wrong, let no one remember it. But if it's right, let everybody remember it. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. We all misspeak, guys, I'm going to tell you. All of us. I don't care how good you are. But in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13, he read it two or three times. But it's worth reading one more time. In whom you also trusted. Now in verse 12, Paul was talking about the gospel of Christ. And in verse 13, he's talking about the gospel of the grace of God. After that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom? Also that after you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Earnest money. Did they pay earnest money? Did they just go out and just buy it all at one time?
They paid it to the realtor.
They paid the earnest money to the realtor when they bought his house, saying, I'm going to buy this. Then they went ahead and paid the whole ball of wax off. That's what's happening in the redemption of the body. Jesus Christ bought you with a price, his death. Okay, so the fact is, but we don't have our new body yet. But we will be redeemed. In Ephesians 4:30, it's what does it say? Grieve not the Holy Spirit.
We're in your seal
until the day of redemption. That's when we're going to get our new bodies, and it's going to be a spirit. Not a spirit as a ghost, but a spiritual body. A spiritual body is the same one I'm looking at except without blood. Jesus Christ had flesh and bone. He could walk through walls. He could eat, or he didn't have to eat. You don't have to have oxygen. Because you're being prepared for where? A heavenly place, not an earthly place.
Right.
But you can still live on earth and you can go to heaven. That's not true with all those people over there that's going to inherit the kingdom. They're going straight out of the tribulation, that those that make it through it, going straight into the earthly kingdom. They're going to be breathing. Children are going to be born. You ain't going to have no children born without blood. So we know they're going to have blood. Isaiah 65 pretty well says that. Anyway, back over here. Go over to Romans 8:1. Romans 8:1. Let me find these. You know, all these is out right here off the cuff because I just, you know, it's so nice to have somebody preaching and teaching ahead of you. So all these things just running through your mind. Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now, I just want to ask you a question. Right here, this question was asked to me Monday. I was in Montgomery. Does God chasten you today?
Yes.
Oh, he does. Anybody? Anybody else got the opposing view?
Chasten the sense of what? Cause after you're saved?
After you're saved. Is he chastening you?
No.
We got two views here. One of them's right, one of them's wrong.
Well, both of them could be right. It's both yes and no.
No. Well, it is. Actually, it is.
All things are possible
with God. Now, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. That's who we're talking about. Saved people, those that are in the body of Christ, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. If you're in Christ Jesus, you're not walking after the flesh anymore. You are in the flesh. You're not walking after the flesh. You're a spiritual individual, and that's what's going to be saved about you. You see what I'm saying? Now this, I've had this question asked up and off. I love the lady. Honest to God, I do. I felt like I know her all my life. She says, this was a couple years ago. She says, do you think God's punishing me for the sins that I've committed? Is that chastening?
Yep.
That's chastening? No. He is not chastening you in the flesh. Remember that. But does he chasten you through your conscience in the spirit?
Sure.
Yes, he does. So both can be right. You just got to know which is which. If you disagree, that's fine. It's no big deal. It's, whatever it is real. Yes, Richard.
Yeah, it talks about reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all long suffering and doctrine.
Right.
And it also says that we're unreprovable. and so there it is. It's one of them.
Well,
and that's exactly what you're talking about.
I think also when you understand your position in Christ and you're doing something you know you shouldn't be doing, you know it.
You will know it. I don't care. It's in the spirit. He's chastening you in the spirit. And if he doesn't, something's wrong with you.
Yeah.
But not in the flesh. Because you said it earlier, Dave, one of y'all did, when God looks down upon his people, and I ain't talking about Israel, I'm talking about everybody that's in this dispensation, he sees how much sin? None. So if he sees no sin, how can he chasten you? But he can chasten you in the spirit. Just think about that.
And his spirit lives in you. Well, and also,
the Holy Spirit.
This is where
his spirit lives in you. Yeah.
Have a difficult time, you can live as miserable as you want to, but you're only hurting yourself. God's not there. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? In other words, you can live sinful, you can do things to your body, you can live certain ways, but it's not God punishing you, it's you living out of the right way to live, be healthy, and you end up hurting yourself.
In essence, you're punishing yourself.
Yeah. You reap what you sow.
That's it. Now, verse 2 of chapter 8. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made us free from the law of sin and death. We're not going to sin anymore, and we're never going to die again in the Spirit. Ever. Yes, fleshly body is going to die, but that's not what it's talking about. Hath made me free from the, it says the law of the Spirit of life hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. Remember, God was all God, but he was also all man at the same time. And for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. If the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in each and every one of the saved people, don't you think he can chasten you in the Spirit? Because he's talking about the law being fulfilled in the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh, are you after the flesh? No, I'm not after the flesh. I'm in Christ. I'm walking around in the flesh, but I'm not after the flesh. Do mind the things of the flesh. Do you mind the things of the flesh? Oh, you care about your health. You care about worldly things. But where you're at in Ephesians 1:3, you're guaranteed all heavenly spiritual blessings. You ain't got nothing to do about inheriting nothing down here. But they that are after the Spirit, that's us that say, the things of the Spirit, we do mind the things of the Spirit. Verse 8, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. That's an unsaved individual. But you are not. Did you see that? If you're a saved individual in here, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you, you walk by faith, don't you? Something dropped. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, that's the Holy Spirit dwelling in him, he is none of his. Now, it can't get any clearer than that, can it? If you're not saved, if the Holy Spirit does not set up residence in you, and he's not dwelling in you, you don't belong to God. You just don't belong to God. But, in verse 11, but if the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of him that raised up Jesus, that's the Holy Spirit of God, from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken, make alive your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Man, I'm going to tell you what, it just can't get any better than that. All you have to do is trust in something. The finished work of the cross, that Christ was crucified and he was buried according to the scriptures, but he was resurrected from the dead on the third day, according to the scriptures, for your justification. In other words, to justify you as if you've never sinned. It's for forgiveness of sins, according to Acts 13, 38 and 39, and according to Colossians chapter 2, verse 13, your trespasses, your iniquities. He died for
all
sin / sins. Of course, you've already covered it, but God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, wasn't he? Not imputing their trespasses unto them. That's us. Thank God for that. Thank God that he foreknew us before the foundation of the world, and I knew old Richard Darby over there, and old Jim Sims, and old Dave Barnes, and old Mr. Hawk here, Mr. Jerry, and all of us in here would one day trust the gospel of the grace of God. He saw it. You were sinners. You were despicable human beings, and he loved you so much he died for you. He sent his son into this world to die for you. You know it says in John 4:24, I believe is where it's at. It says, God is a spirit, and we worship him in spirit and in truth. But it also says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So we know Jesus Christ is God manifest in the flesh. There ain't no doubt about it. I'm with what Richard said earlier. There ain't one Holy Bible on the face of the earth and written in English. It's called the King James Bible. There's a lot of Bibles. Probably, what's a guess? 250? I don't know.
Supposed to be 127.
How many, Robert? You got an idea?
Over 200. Huh? I heard different, over 200 in English. Yeah.
Different Bibles. Bible means book, but there's only one that's set apart. That's holy. It's consecrated for God's use in the English language. That's what it is. So, go over to Romans chapter 8, verse 38. Because you read this right after you read Ephesians 1:13. Where you're sealed until the day of redemption. Here's what it says. It says, for I am persuaded. You got to ask yourself, are you persuaded? It's talking about you. Paul was talking about himself. He wasn't talking about you. He was talking about himself. And you can have the same thing that Paul had. For I, Paul, am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from, who's us? Everybody in the body of Christ, the spiritual, invisible church. Separate us from the love of God shall not be, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Wow. It can't be. Can't be. In verse 17 of chapter 10. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Wow. Ain't that something? Go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Let's start in verse 21. Jim knows where I'm headed.
So don't let your emotions control your faith, but let your faith control your emotions.
Exactly, because your feelings and your emotions will let you down. They will deceive you in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
The Word of God cannot, will not, when you rightly divide the Word of truth, will not let you down. Yeah. The love of God will never, ever leave you.
Yeah.
Never.
Amen.
You may leave Him, but He will never leave you. But you know, I tell you, what is so amazing to me is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, before the foundation of the world. So just, I'm telling you, it just shows just how despicable we human beings are. And He loved you so much, He still sent Jesus Christ into this world to pay the penalty that you owe. Man, has He got a plan for us, and you know what? We don't know what it is, but we know it's in the heavenlies. Because that's where all of our spiritual blessings rest, in the heavenlies. I'm not saying we're not going to come back with Him. I do believe that. And He's going to reign on His throne for that 1,000 years. Now, what are we going to be doing? Are we going to be reigning with Him? Or are we going to be carrying people, as some Brother Moore prognosticated, is that the right word? He said, I don't know, it's not scriptural, but I think one of our jobs might be taking other people to all these different planets. I don't know.
Can we eat all we want? That's the point.
I guess you could eat all you want and never get
perfect.
Blowed up like me. And some of us would relish that opportunity.
Well, he's going to change our vital body like into his glorious body. So it's probably going to, our whole, everything's going to change. We're going to become as he is.
Yeah, we're going to want to
we're not going to be thinking the way we
Yeah.
And, you know, that's a hard thing to conceive. I know Carl's been witnessing to a guy that I've witnessed to, my neighbor, for a long time. And it's in his mind, ain't it?
Yeah.
It's what he thinks about what the Bible says. It's not what you think about what the Bible says. It's what God said in the Bible.
And you add things to it.
That's what he says.
That's what he says. Oh, Lord.
No. Oh, it's in depth, believe me.
That's good talking to the guy, though.
Hey, at least we're telling him the truth. It's up to the Holy Spirit to convict him of his sinfulness and his need of a Savior, that he's not the interpreter of the book. There is no private interpretation. Back over to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21. Now he, which established you, us, with you in Christ, and hath anointed, us, is God. God did it. He's responsible for it. Let's blame God. Because he is. He is the one who established us with you in Christ. Who hath also sealed us. Who did? God did.
What was the reference? 2 Corinthians 1:22.
Who 1:21 and 22. Who hath also sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. Paul, go ahead.
Jesus was the anointed one. And when it says he has anointed us, we've been Jesus-fied.
Well, in this case, in verse 21, God anointed us.
Yeah.
God anointed us. But God is Jesus, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yep.
Go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. If you don't have this confidence, man, you got a problem. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we're going to read it. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God. Chapter 5. Who also, is God now, hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. We already saw that in in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 14.
Right.
Verse 6. Therefore, we, saved people in the body of Christ, are always, I like that always can't be changed. Can it? It's always this way. Confident. Knowing that while we are at home in the body, we're absent from the Lord. What's at home in the body? The spirit and the soul that belongs to God. If you're saved, we're absent from the Lord. We're absent from the Lord right now, but we're home. We're home in this old fleshly body. That's why the Holy Spirit tabernacles in your body right now. That's what he's doing if you're saved. Now, if you're not saved, he's not tabernacling at all. You know, it's just like the Feast of Tabernacles. When I believe God's coming back and tabernacling with his people. I absolutely believe that. That's like a tent. He tabernacles. Verse 7, for we walk by faith, don't we? Not by sight. Not what you saw. Now, I used this up in Op the other day, not what we're doing, but just one of these things. I said, you know, Trish back there, the Lord healed her beyond the shadow of a doubt. But y'all, I can tell y'all that. Y'all didn't see it. So, do you believe in Christ because I told you that she got healed? Even if I showed you all the medical evidence, would that make you believe? If it does, then you hadn't trusted Christ. We walk by sight.
By faith.
By faith, not by sight, sorry. Right. The Jews require a sign, remember? 1 Corinthians 1:22. But the Greeks seek after wisdom. Now, in her case, they told her she was going to have open heart surgery by the time she was 35. She's 36. They got the pictures on the inside. that showed leaking valves. You're going to have them replaced. She come down here, same test run. After we prayed about it, nothing. Nothing wrong. How many years later was it that you had it done again? Five?
No.
About 5 years later, she's having problems. Gastric, short of breath. Went and had the same thing done and no leaking valve, no nothing wrong with her heart. But that guy up there in North Dakota says, I'll bet my whole practice that she's going to have to be cut open by the time she's 35. It's gone. That don't mean it's always going to be gone, does it? When he heals somebody, God does miraculous things. We don't trust those miraculous things for trusting the Lord as seeing those things by sight. We trust in the faith of Christ. We have faith in the faith of Christ. And that's what you brought up earlier, I think.
But she wasn't healed by somebody laying hands on her.
No, no, no. God does heal on a daily basis. You may not see it, but it happens. Is somebody going to come lay hands on you? No. But does that happen? Yes, it does. Who's doing that? Satan.
Another
God. He can even almost deceive the elect, Satan can. Where there's a Christ, there's an Antichrist. There's an anti-whatever.
Revelation, lying signs and wonders.
Mm-hmm. Now, if there's somebody in here that's thought they've trusted the gospel of your salvation, this is the blood of Christ applied, crucified, buried, and resurrected for the forgiveness of your sins. Well, I'm telling you, Colossians 2 tells me, Acts 13 tells me, that Jesus Christ was crucified. He said he died for my sins. Well, he was crucified. He was resurrected to show that he didn't have any sins. You couldn't be resurrected and go back to heaven, can you, with a sin? It says forgiveness. Sins. / sin. Have I got to absolutely know that I was justified to get saved? Well, necessarily. I think you do. But if you don't have, if he died for all your sins, he justified you, didn't he? You cleared you of all sins. You don't have a problem with this. So you're justified whether you know it or not. If you just trust that Christ was crucified, buried, and resurrected, according to 1 Corinthians 15, 3 and 4, that's what that says. I do believe absolutely that that's the gospel of our salvation. Don't you? It didn't say justified in there. But you are. You can read Romans 5, 1 and see that you're justified, cleared of all sins.
425,
but 5-1 also.
You may not understand the scope of what it's been.
Right. But you know you don't have none of these. He died for every one of them. So if he died for every one of them, and we talked about that during your service, every one of them, there is not one that's left. So if there's all gone, he justified you, cleared you, as if there's none left. But I don't believe you have to know the word justified to be saved, because the will of the Father is that all men be saved. That's first. Mm-hmm. Then you're going to find out a lot more when you come into the knowledge of the truth. I call that coming into the knowledge of the truth.
Right.
If you know that all of your sins have been forgiven, I can't see why you can't get this. But when you've been justified out of Romans 5:1, it's just further explanation of forgiveness is what it is. But they still don't believe this. If they just got one sin that they think that somebody commit, the unpardonable sin, like suicide, which is baloney, all sins were paid for right here. Why? It didn't surprise him you're going to kill yourself. He knew it right here, and he still forgive you. All sins have been paid for. It's your unbelief in the finished work of the simplicity of the cross that will send you to hell. Yes?
Well, you know what? These people, what they'll do is they'll go home and ask for forgiveness every night. And they've done it 1,000 times, and they're not going to stop until they believe.
They may not stop. And they're not going to be saved.
Right, because they haven't understood it.
They haven't understood it. And I'm going to tell you, if they continue to ask for forgiveness, they are lost. They can say, I believe this, this, and this. And they can even say this, forgiveness of sins. I believe they can say that. And that's head knowledge. But until they get that there's no sin left and don't ask for forgiveness, they've never trusted it in their heart. They don't have any love, joy, and peace about themselves. They're always wondering. Mm-hmm. You trusted this before, didn't you? I'm not trusted it, but believe this. But yeah, you never just, you had head knowledge with it, didn't
you? I had head knowledge.
See, I always ask them, are you in the body of Christ? Yes. How could you be in Christ with any sin? It makes me think. You can't be there if you have sin.
There's none. Zero.
Right. So they go, yeah. Interesting.
Well, you can ask people, hey, do you ask them the same people, do you think Christ is going to resurrect you or gather you out at the rapture if you've got a sin that you forgot to ask
yeah,
for?
You missed one.
You missed one, and do you think he's going to take you up into heaven?
Tens of thousands.
Because, see, to be resurrected as he was, no sin.
Right.
No sin. Before he could go back up to heaven where he came down from, who had glory with God before he ever left and came down, and now he's going back. He could not have a sin because he took the sins of the world on himself. Just one sin would have kept him from being resurrected and went back to heaven. He had to go back and get glorified and then come back. So if there's one sin that somebody had forgotten, see, they don't have any security.
Right.
They don't have eternal security.
No,
they're one sin from being, or one heartbeat from dropping off in hell, is what they think. But it, because I've got to ask for all these sins. God, don't let me forget any of them.
Yeah.
And if you forget one, well, you can't be resurrected. Now, over to Psalm, would you? Psalm 49, and I'm going to cover this one and one more, and then we're done for today.
Where did you say?
Psalm 49, verse 1. I'm just going to make an application here. This is not written directly to you because everything about us in this dispensation was hid in God. Before, not from, as Peter's bunch, but before the foundation of the world. Now, hear this, all you people. Give ear, all you inhabitants of the world, both low and high, rich and poor together. So there's no distinguishing between a rich person and a poor person here. And we're talking about worldly prosperity, worldly riches here. My mouth shall speak of wisdom, and the meditation of my heart shall be of understanding. I will incline my ear to a parable. I will open my dark saying upon the heart. Wherefore should I fear in the days of evil, when the iniquity of my heel shall compass me about? Listen to here in verse 6. They that trust in their wealth, and there's a lot of people that do, and boast themselves in the multitude of their riches, none of them can by any means redeem his brother, no matter how much money you got, nor give to God a ransom for him. For the redemption of their soul is precious, and it ceases forever. Listen, verse 9, that he should still live forever and not see corruption. For he seeth that wise men die. Likewise, the fool and the brutish person perish and leave their wealth to others. Their inward thought is that their houses will continue forever. You always heard about this. What do you call Obama up there right now? His legacy? That's what they're worried about right here. This man's legacy, this wealthy man's legacy. There's nothing wrong with having plenty of money. There just isn't. But there is if you're using it the wrong way. And their dwelling places to all generations. They call their lands after their own names. You've heard that. Passed on from generation to generation to generation. Nevertheless, man being in honor abideth not. Man, he is like the beast that perish. This their way is their folly. Yet their posterity approve their sayings. Selah. Like sheep, they are laid in the grave. And it's just using a metaphor when it says sheep. We're not sheep, but I'm trying to use this for us today. Death shall feed on them, and the upright shall have dominion over them in the morning, and their beauty shall consume in the grave from their dwelling. But God, boy, don't you like the but God? will redeem my soul from the power of the grave, for he shall receive me. Be not thou afraid when one is made rich, when the glory of his house is increased, so don't be afraid. For when he dieth, he shall carry nothing away. His glory shall not descend after him. But while he liveth, he blessed his soul, and men will praise thee when thou doest well to thyself. He shall go to the generation of his fathers. They shall never see light. Man that is in honor and understandeth not is like the beast that perisheth. Man, you can have all you want. It's not going to follow you. Now, I want to follow that up with chapter 51. First verse, mankind, and this I'm definitely going to make an application to us. Have mercy upon me, O God. Have you ever said that? I have. Have mercy upon me, O God. I didn't use the word upon, but according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Forgive me, Lord.
Yeah.
Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. Any of y'all ever do that?
It's been done.
It's been done. For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. We know that we're sinners and we are in need of a Savior. Against thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, and this is all of us, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Wow. Behold, now I'm going to show you. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. When somebody has presented the gospel of the grace of God, which is the gospel of your salvation, out of Ephesians 1:13, and they took you and showed you 1 Corinthians 15:3-4, and said, this is what you need to do. You need to trust. That's wisdom coming to you, if from the individual that told you, but what about the wisdom you have to receive it so you can use it for yourself? And trust in the finished work of the cross at Calvary. That's simple. Wisdom is the preacher's guided if he's understanding what the Bible says and what the doctrine the Apostle Paul said that he got from the risen Savior. The preacher got the wisdom if he's telling you to trust in the right gospel. If not, he has no wisdom. But then it's up to you. You have been taught something. You have a choice, either to trust it or not to trust it. You have that free will to make that decision. And if you decide not to, God's not going to... What? God's not going to force you to trust in His Son and what God did for you. God did it! God had Jesus Christ go. Jesus Christ physically did it. God says, Son, this is what I want you to do. And Jesus Christ said, Father, if there's any other way, let this cup pass it from me. But there is no other way. Let thy will be done. Not mine, but let thy Father's will be done. My Father's will be done. And you can't change that. Jesus Christ willingly went to the cross, went to the grave, was resurrected because he trusted his Father, that his Father would raise him from the dead and he would have glory again as he had glory before the foundation of the world.
Thank you so much for coming out today. We just thank you so much for the opportunity to preach the Word of God to you, and join us next week.